Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff. Ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I don't know if you heard some distortion on the introduction. It sounded like someone was on a speakerphone. That doesn't work. So go back to the way you had it. Thank you. So nice to have you here on this Monday evening, the last day of the month of June, June 30th. And we are already at July the 1st on the East Coast and also in the Central Time Zone. Welcome. And we have a great lineup of shows this week. This week and actually next week are going to be two very powerful weeks of shows. Really the whole month if you want to get down to it. I do have a few open dates, but I can promise you that the openings are going to fill with some very interesting, informative, and controversial guests, and we have one tonight, I can guarantee you that. Later this week, in fact, tomorrow and Wednesday, I have two new guests. Tomorrow we're going to have Linda Emmanuel, who is the author of a new book called The Messenger, and this is a story about, it's a true story about overcoming the infirmities of what we could call mycoplasma infection, which can manifest itself in very, very many diseases. If you've been sick or having aches and pains, any kind of recurring illness that you can't explain and you're not getting any relief for, you need to listen to tomorrow's show. And I've spoken with Linda and read her book, and it's very inspiring, very enlightening, and it's pretty simple how to overcome these problems. In fact, it's pretty well accepted now amongst the homeopathic health community, we'll say, and both victims and practitioners of health, that most diseases are caused by some sort of infection. And we will be discussing that. We have a new guest coming on Wednesday, Carl Perzon, who is an attorney from the New York area. And if you're struggling with finances, if you're trying to get work, if you're trying to get a message out to someone to have some work done at your home or some special service you need, you want to listen to tomorrow night, Wednesday night show. We're going to be discussing some new things that hopefully are going to be occurring around the country. Another solution-packed show. You don't want to miss that one. As well as Thursday, Michael Anthony will be on, and our regular science guest, Jim Murray, will be on Friday night, and we've got some interesting topics. Now, that said, I'm not going to go into any news tonight. I am going to open tonight's topic by letting any new listeners or anyone who has missed the last couple of shows during the past week know that a photograph that researcher Ken Adachi, who has a website called educate-yourself.org, and I have been looking at a photograph that Ken received, and it's a very, very interesting photograph. In fact, it's going to lead us deeply into our topic tonight. What we noticed in this photograph, which is two flying saucers, sort of a reddish hue, in a very black, pitch black sky, worked through some light filtering to change the contrast levels and the brightness and that. We found that setting an auto level on one of the pictures, we were able to see the field of energy around these two craft. Now, what's more interesting than the energy field is that when we manipulated the zoom and looked in more detail, still making slight adjustments to the contrast and the brightness and the gamma output of the picture, we noticed that there were entities in the sky all around these craft. And it's a very interesting kind of entity that one sees, animals and human-like faces, but all very, very dark in energy. You get the feeling that they're around these craft because these craft are generating a dark force, a negative force. And so the entities appear around the craft, but you don't see that when you look up in the sky. Now, it's worth contemplating that these things might be out there all the time. Not to fear them, but just to understand that they're there, always waiting for an opportunity. Or if they're following these ships around, and you don't see the ships, they're likely there. Now, when you see the ships, I can guarantee you these manifestations are in the sky. Ken and I did many, many crops. Actually, Ken did most of them. But we looked at the photos together and showed them to some other people. Scientist Jim Murray last weekend talked about it, and we are in agreement that there is a phenomenon that's occurring where we are seeing multidimensional beings come into our presence. Now, we can counter what they do. And I also want to point out that they resemble some of the anomalies taken in the photos of Ground Zero from the World Trade Center attack and the Pentagon attack on 9/11, 2001. Same type of energy, same type of entity. And it really opens the door to what the possible technology might have been, because we know what the technology was propelling these two saucers. Now, I didn't take the photograph. Ken didn't take the photograph, but we analyzed many, many things. In fact, we could see inside the ships when we did these filtering adjustments. Pretty interesting stuff. Now, Ken, if you go to Ken's website, educate-yourself.org, you can take a look at the article that he wrote, and he did put some of the crops up there, but it's going to be more detailed as time goes on. It's going to be a very expansive study of these phenomena. And I'd like to talk about that a little bit, because we want to go beyond that into a higher consciousness. And with that, I want to introduce tonight's guest. He has written a book called The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, and also a second book, Questions and Answers with the Elohim. We've been talking about this topic on some past shows, and I know we will tonight. But we're going to talk tonight about steps that we can take as human beings to empower ourselves. And we're going to remove some of the myths that are out there as to what our future holds, because really the power is within us and within our intention. With that, I intend to welcome back to Evident Footprints now, I think it's about the fourth time, Mr. Wynn Free. Wynn, how are you this evening?
How are we doing tonight, Don?
We are moving along.
You know, I wanted to make a comment to you about your introduction, and it has to do with spaceships and UFOs. And I think this is a rather important thing because, you know, I don't know if you're aware of who Carlo Ruckert is yet. Do you know Carlo Ruckert?
Not personally, but I'm familiar with the name.
Familiar with her work at all? She was in my book. Did you ever get my book, by the way?
Yes, I did. As I mentioned, okay. I'm familiar with the name, but I haven't really studied her work.
She was a person who channeled allegedly the same Ra that David Wilcock channels, and she has a landmark work that five books that were the excerpts of her channelings that happened from 1981 to 1985. And she had a husband, I guess, I don't know if he was a boyfriend, husband, or partner. Partner is probably the best word. She had a partner who was very intelligent, a PhD, and was asking extremely profound questions. And many people have referred to her channeling as the penultimate work of channeling under, like, extreme controls. And there was a very cohesive body of knowledge of who Ra is, how they operate, where they come from, who are the bad guys, who are the good guys, how the universe works. It's extremely deep. And actually, you would like it. You would enjoy her work, and she would actually be a very interesting guest for you. And she still channels. She does not channel Ra anymore. She channels Quo. And in fact, her Quo channelings are being broadcast on BBS. I don't know what night, but her name is Carla Rucker. Now, in her channelings, she discussed through the Ra group that was speaking through her, who are the major service to self group that is our opposition in other dimensions, and labeled them as from the Orion system.
Mm-hmm.
And that they had flying saucers and they had technology, and basically they were extremely advanced, but their hearts weren't open. They were kind of black magicians, so to speak. They can mm-hmm. they could do all kinds of hocus pocus from the other side. They could channel through people. And she went into great detail discussing, you know, lots of things about them. And there was the question asked to her, like, in terms of UFOs, what percentage of UFOs are service to self and which ones are service to others? And she said, her channel voice said, 70% of UFO activity is service to self. And so recently, I repeated that question in my channelings, and I got a pretty close percentage. And that many of the people that are making UFO contacts, according to my channelings, I think it was 64%, were really talking to service to self. And the way Carla Rucker described it is a service to self intelligence. If it's talking and coming to speak with someone who's satanic or occult or power hungry, then they will be, you know, as bad as they are or as service to self as they are. And they don't have to have as many, you know, how can I say it, disguises. But
mm-hmm.
very many New Age channelers are actually communicating with this group. And they masquerade as being positive.
Yeah.
And they're very, you know, it's not just, what I've learned is regarding channeling, most people are so taken with the phenomena of it that if anyone ever talked to them, they would be, you know, they'd be running around the block with joy, the fact that they made some kind of connection like that. And especially if whoever was talking to them said, you are our next messenger, and, you know, we come in love and light, and, you know, they'll say all the right things, but they have an agenda. And in
mm-hmm.
fact, in one book I read, And when I asked this a long time ago, and they said, yes, this was a possibility, that it, you know, it, and that is the negative group would actually like to attempt. There were one of the possible scenarios was to create so much fear and panic on our planet, and so much, say, rundown of resources, no food, no money, you know, whatever, so that a negative group, this negative group, could actually land and be welcomed as our saviors. And
mm-hmm.
everyone would just, you know, say, wow, thank goodness. And of course there's, you know, I'm sure you've noticed as you watch UFO kind of people, many of them are thinking that the aliens are coming to save us. And, I'm not saying that's an impossibility, but I would say, you know, the fact that suddenly the Vatican is endorsing UFOs, the fact that Larry King is talking about UFOs, that is more major news stories that I've seen in the last even couple of weeks about UFOs, that it makes me very suspicious that they might be trying to set a stage for something that looks positive but in fact is negative. So,
Well, for the most part, now I am familiar with these things, as you probably would have guessed, and we talk about these quite often on this show. And I want to stress that this particular photo that we were looking at, there was a gray craft and a draconian craft.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the draconians would be the winged reptilians, or the higher order of the reptilians. Now there's a visible light bridge where there's communication going on between these two craft, and when you enlarge it and you do these slight adjustments that we were doing to the photograph, you can actually see this light. You can interpret it as an exchange of information. Even Jim Murray, the scientist, said the same thing. He was really taken aback, but it didn't surprise him, because he's had these experiences in right down here on the ground in terms of seeing entities from the time he was 3 or 4 years old. He had been abducted at the age of 3. He was visited by a large black dog the day before his grandfather died. At the age of 4, in the basement of his house, this thing came out of the coal cellar, put its mouth around his neck, and he wasn't afraid. And eventually the thing let him go, and the next day his grandfather passed away. So he saw these things as, let's say, entities that were interfering with what was going on. Well, we know that these dark entities, in fact, I know the Elohim say the same thing, that they use any opportunity they can to attach themselves to what you would call, a clean spirit or a conscious soul, and they really feed off of fear. This is the same mechanism that rules the planet right now. It is the same mechanism that creates all the illusion. So all one needs to understand is that these beings, even though they're there, have no impact on us if we just discern what they are and put ourselves with our intention and our discernment in a higher place. When we understand that they can no longer affect us, or they can not affect us more than the illusions that they create to cause this belief system that we're trapped in, we will rise above that. And I know that Elohim told you that too.
Well, you know, there's a dilemma here, and I'll share the dilemma. And the dilemma is that everyone who's listening is going to be involved in this dilemma. So I want to share my take on this so that they can go to the higher aspect of it. The dilemma is that, there's a lot of New Age people out there that's saying, don't pay any attention to anything. Whatever you put your attention towards, you give it energy. And so in one sense, their heads are in the sand, and in a situation where they had to make a critical discernment, there's a pretty good chance they could make a mistake. On the other hand, there are people that, like, totally focus on everything that's negative, including the aliens, including the government, and that this focus on it, you know, can actually create fear, because, you know, somebody is going to look at this and say, my God, really? I mean, there's agendas, there's this, there's actually people in spaceships that don't have our best interest at heart, that want to conquer our planet. And so when you start to contemplate this, it's good to look at it, it's good to know that it's there, it's good to be aware so that if something happens, you make a better decision. but it's not good to stay focused on it. Because if you do, what you focus on, see, just the fact that we're talking about it, the fact that we're talking about it, you know, the universe is a hologram. Whatever we talk about, we are pulling in the energy, invoking the energy of what we're talking about. So the fact that we're talking about it is, in a certain sense, invoking them, Don. So, you know, even though you can say to people, you know, now that you know about this, don't have fear, it's like telling somebody, don't think of the word shoe right now. Don't think of the word shoe, Don. Okay, I'll leave a moment of silence. You're going to think of the word shoe because, you know, just by talking about it, you invoke it. So I would suggest we brought it up, we talked about it, and then let's forget about it and go on to something and invoke something higher. And then
okay, let's go to bowling and basket weaving.
Bowling and basket weaving?
I think we can strike a balance here. That's the point I'm making, is that, we can look at it in terms of, is this something to fear? Well, if we know what it is, if we understand who it is and their intention, and then take responsibility for who we are and then set our intention, that's where our power is. Now, they're doing their thing, whether we pay attention to it or not. In fact, they're hoping we don't pay attention or that we fall prey to some other fear, if not that one. They certainly don't want us to know they're here. Okay? Mm-hmm. That has been the main reason why everyone is in denial. Because they portray this in movies and in stories and all the different media as being absurd, that it's only imaginary, you see. So in that respect, it's worth talking about. Now, I'm not trying to continue beating the drum. I'm just making that point for the listener out there that's saying, well, what's wrong with this? In other words, if I talk about it, are they going to come get me? Or what if I just think about it? Are they going to come get me? You see, what do I do if they come get me? You see, so I'm talking about self-empowerment here, too.
Yes.
But you know, I get your point.
In my case, because my case is obviously a rather unique case, my circumstance is a rather unique case, is that I introduce these group souls that can actually be in this realm, and when they come into this realm, when they're invoked by people, they create a huge degree of protection. Because one of the things that Carla Ruckert said, I can't read this directly, but they said, you know, there's a quarantine on our planet that keeps supposed to keep some of these spaceships out of here, and there's a quarantine that is brought on by the Confederacy. You know, there's this huge United Nations of different planetary civilizations, and that Ra now is a pure energy, but the guys can't come in when there's love. Love, in other words, when there's a strong enough loving presence, it's like that's a shield that they can't penetrate because they would have to change polarity to come through that shield, and they don't want to do that. So this is not a mental thing. You actually have to invoke love. And, you know, a lot of times people think they can do something by saying it in their mind, I'm not afraid, I'm not on this. But the key is to be able to live a loving life all the time. Have loving people around you. Have loving friends. Do loving things. And I mean high loving things. Because high love creates a field unto itself. And negativity can't penetrate the field of love. And this is not mental. This is real connection. In other words, when two people connect, you know, there's the saying by Jesus, and I understand what this means metaphysically, When two or more are present, I am also here. I am with you. Well, two people connecting at a higher vibration create a field between them. When their intent is high, not only are they present, but the higher beings will join with them in their field in the other dimensions, and there's a huge amount of protection in that. And that goes far beyond anything that you can, you know, say in your mind, or you know, sometimes people will say a prayer, or do this or do that. Most people don't have the ability to create a high enough intent to create protection, to my observation. But when two people are creating a high intent and creating a field between them, then they can't help but create protection. And that's part of what I am kind of, I won't say teaching, but sharing with people the experience of that in our group. You know, I have an ongoing conference call group, and I'm learning as I'm going. I mean, I'm going into areas that I have no idea how to do what I'm doing, and I've said very, very many times, this is an experiment, because, you know, I'm having ongoing conversations with these two group souls that describe how they operate, how they connect with our realm, and they say that there's very few people that have come to understand the nature of how this works. And yet, because I wrote the book and I studied the Ra group, and then Daphne started channeling the Elohim, and I'm a very careful observer. I kept saying, I think it's working this. I think I can feel their energy. And then I'd ask them, and they said, yes, that's their energy. And then I said, well, can I share this with other people if I do a conference call? And they said, yes, you can. I said, you'll work with the people on the call. They said they would. So, you know, what happens when we do these conference calls, and I can't see this with my mind or with my eyes, but I can feel it, and other people on the line can feel it. It's hard to explain because there's kind of a sense that's developed that's not your normal six senses, but yet it's shared, and that is that the group on the call, it would be as if there would be a stream of light coming from the galactic center, the Hunap Ku, the Milky Way, and streaming out, and that the people on the call, the Elohim and the Ra groups, are actually the energies that seem to flow of these light streams, and we invoke them, and it's as if the stream is going through everyone's crown chakra, through their bodies, and into the earth, and that the people on the call are creating a group energy. In other words, the part of them that's in the hologram, that's outside of third dimension, of physical reality, is beyond space and time. And they can touch each other. And, you know, it connects with Jesus. It connects with the word communion, which I believe this is what Jesus meant when he used that word. And then when you create a group energy that's outside of this dimension in space and time, and then you have those group souls join with your group energy, because they're in the same outside dimensions where that this is all happening out of anything physical that proves that it's real. So we're either a bunch of wackos or it's happening. But the thing is, you put something in the light or you ask for something, and then something miraculous happens, and there's no other explanation except that we're doing what we say we're doing. At least that's from my observation.
Mm-hmm. I tend to think that the what we would call the miracles or the miraculous events are merely natural events. It's just that we have put ourselves in the proper place to experience or to receive those gifts. And
well,
I want to make one more point regarding these entities.
Let me just make one comment.
Okay.
We are the creation of those events. We are the creation of it. So when you say it's natural, it dismisses it. Each person has the potential in their multidimensional aspect to create intention that causes a change down here. And when you get groups of people and you add these other group souls to the mix, then we are, you know, the word, you know, there's things, vocabulary that you can use where you say it's natural. Well, what is natural? There's nothing natural. I mean, everything is unnatural. I mean, we're unnatural. I mean, a tree is natural, perhaps, okay? But when you have a group intention and you ask for something for the highest good, and then it happens, and it shouldn't have happened otherwise, I mean, it was outside of what would be normal, and it happens, and then it happens repetitively, then you can say, there's something unusual going on here. And I don't think that's natural. Maybe it should be natural.
You're misinterpreting what I'm saying. What is natural is the oneness of the universe. What is unnatural is our separation from that principle.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what goes on here. You see, everything that is spoon-fed us from the time that we're born is intended to keep us from the truth, which is mm-hmm. our oneness with the universe. That is the natural I'm speaking about. So when you,
know you what? I think it's semantic. We're really saying the same thing.
Yes. In fact, if I could have made my other point, and that was based upon what the Elohim told you, which I know as a truth, or I knew as a truth, a universal truth before I read that in your book, is that these beings coming in from other dimensions are seeking the experience here. And they need our cooperation to function the way they would like to function. They're devoid of some of the gifts that we have, especially the spiritual gifts. So, mm-hmm.
you're talking about the negative guys that are.
Yes. That's the whole reason I brought that up in the beginning, was to address mm-hmm. this point that they have no impact on us unless we allow them to. And we can only allow them to either through our will or through our ignorance.
Mm-hmm.
I can't think of another reason why anyone would. Well, we either choose that or we're unaware of it.
I think you are a very well-balanced guy. Who's had a lot of past lifetimes, and you're very strong. And I think that there's a lot of people out there that can't match your level of faith, conviction, and strength. And that those people, many people have all kinds of fears and phobias and traumas and ancient hurts. And even when they know they have them, I mean, I'll say I've been one of them. I've gone through a huge amount this life of clearing things. And people, even when they know they have all those things, they don't go away. It's not easy to get rid of them. And the problem is the majority of people I would put in that category. And when they come upon a demonic force of some sort or a service-to-self force that's, you know, intending to tap into their fear, it is not easy for them to get a stay out of their fear because it's not mental. It's far deeper than a mental thing.
And of course. I agree.
The issue is the way to work with people is, I mean, this is what I am doing and learning is that you have to be willing not to just tell somebody, don't be afraid if you're afraid they're going to get you, which is true. You have to be willing to put your own life energy out there so that you do this on your show.
Absolutely. And it's not going to be covered in tonight's show, but I've done that in many other shows, and I will continue to. So I'm just making a general point here.
The fact that you can talk about this, and you particularly have conquered a great deal of your fear, the fact that you can do that and talk about it without any fear is automatically you're helping heal other people because they're tuning in to your strength, okay?
Thank you.
Not your words, though. The words that when you I hear people say this, and I jump up and down because I think that You can't just tell somebody, don't be afraid. You can't tell somebody, if you're afraid of these guys, they're going to get you, so don't be afraid. It's like if you're walking down the street and a huge dog comes snarling at you and jumps off of, you know, a fence and is in your face with his fangs going, and you tell yourself, oh, God, if I'm afraid he's going to attack me, well, you know, you'd be pretty good not to be afraid in that moment. Maybe you could do it, but most people couldn't. So we need a huge amount of reinforcement, and people need to find people, circumstances, groups that are safe, that they can feel protected within the group energy, because people learn how to heal themselves through connecting with other people who have healed themselves, people that have gone through a healing process. Because what happens is the person who has gone through a healing process then radiates energy, so the person that hasn't healed themselves, that has fear, can then connect with the energy of the other person. And if they do that over a long enough period of time, they will heal themselves. But it's not a quick, easy fix. And anyone wants
I was going to make a comment. Do you find it a coincidence that every show this week is going to deal with that issue on Evident Footprints?
Well, I guess good. All right.
That was my announcement at the top of the show to let everyone know that this is going to be a week of self empowerment, by transitive property, we're going to empower the group. You see?
Yeah.
And just to comment one more thing, I think you know this about me, and my listening audience knows that I put my heart into my work. So I'm not speaking to them from my mind, I'm speaking from the heart. And if they're receptive, they're gonna make that connection.
Yes. I said that you hold that energy so that when you do talk about it, that you personally are helping those who pay attention to you that have those issues to heal themselves. Just because you're there, you're consistent, you're every night. Huh?
Well, Monday through Friday.
Through your frequency. Daphne is sitting next to me. She's listening. She said, you're radiating a frequency. And, you know, the frequency is like a homing signal. It's just like on our own conference calls, which are happening every day. We're bringing in a frequency, and we have the Elohim and the Ra groups bringing in the frequency, and that the people that tune into it every day get are shifting, they're changing, because they learn how to, as I said, when you're around an energy that doesn't have the trauma and the fear, then eventually it rubs it off into you. And those areas in your body where your energy is screwed up will start to heal themselves. And, so everyone out there needs to go and find those things. If you're relating to what I'm saying, if you're connecting with these ideas, then you can't do. When I say you can't do it yourself, I some people say you got to do it, like you got to love yourself, you got to do it yourself. I don't think you can do it yourself. I think you need to find circumstances of energies that you can connect with. Now, since we're dealing with outside of space and time, people can connect with your energy outside of space and time on this show, and they can deal with our energies. I've learned the Elohim and Ra, their energies. You connect with people all over the world just because they come into a conference call. And then you have that energy connection, and you give people some wisdom on top of it, and you give them some stuff that makes sense, and then they're on the track to healing themselves. And yes, then they are protected. And for a while, people have to be receivers of that energy. And when they get strong enough, they'll be able to be around other people who are in fear and trauma, and they won't freak out. They'll just be able to hold themselves constant and be the focus for other people to heal themselves. This is exactly the way our planet uplifts, the way I see it. Listen.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Daphne is listening here, and she says, they want to talk. Oh, no?
Oh, really? Are we bringing Daphne on? Fine.
Wait a second. Oh, she's saying, let Don talk. She says, I'm hogging everything. All right,
oh, no, the Elohim want to hear me. I think that's what she's saying. No, I'm kidding.
The Elohim. You know, for people that are listening that don't know the context of what we're talking about, you know, I wrote a book. Now I'm going to talk too much. This is my, you know, okay, I'll say this because it's important for people to hear it. I wrote a book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, and it introduces this group soul that's made up of graduates of this realm that act as a helper for this us, and that we have thought of as God, one of the groups. And then while I was writing the book, I had a girlfriend that suddenly kept saying to me, those guys want to talk to you again. And this voice comes through her that says they're the Elohim and they're the other group soul. And so now this has been going on for 8 years. And I'm dealing with these energies that are in other dimensions that are huge. And they're talking to me all the time. And they are, I'm learning ways to help other people access these energies. I realize it's real. There's no doubt that it's real and that it's very important. And it's not, again, it's not something just to believe in your mind. It's something to experience the energy of it, relate to the energy of it so that you can incorporate it into your daily life. And then, yes, you can stay out of fear. And now I'm going to shut up and listen to whatever you have to say, okay?
Okay. Now, if you remember in the introduction, I did let the audience know that you wrote two books, and we're
right.
Speaking about the Q&A with the Elohim. So
right.
In reading what they said, and again, I came across something I was quite familiar with. In fact, I would just add, for the sake of what many of my shows cover, we talk about information that has been hidden intentionally from our consciousness. In fact, usually it's been hidden behind a lie. Let's say history or science or the truth about the human body, the truth about the spirit, the truth about God, and all of God's prophets that came here to teach us and inspire us under very, very difficult circumstances. And throughout our history, though I'm just speaking about the ones we know about, let alone the ones that have been totally hidden from us. So I became interested in the concept of the veil that they talked about, because this veil is the means through which the illusions are perpetrated. Now, there's the veil of us reaching the higher consciousness, and there are those activities or those things that are spewed upon us in terms of our everyday lives and our responsibilities and all the control mechanisms that make us good little worker bees or good little ants. Those things are in addition to the veil. But I found it interesting that they talked about how we come here with intent, with the full consciousness of what our purpose is. And then we gradually forget what that is.
You know what, Dan? You're leaving something out.
Well, I'm not finished, but you're interrupting me. But go ahead.
All right, God, that's what I wasn't going to interrupt. But.
Go ahead.
Well, you didn't talk about the DNA and the fact, according to my information and according to quite a few people, humans were engineered to have their DNA with only a couple strings activated out of the full regalia, and that part of the veil we're talking about is not just mental. In fact, you know, it's like if you talk to somebody, and I mean, let's suppose I'm talking to somebody and say, and I convince them, well, yes, there are UFOs. Well, they're still going to go home, and their life is not going to change because there's UFOs. Because they have not changed their DNA. Their DNA is still two strings. And as your DNA strings get activated, then you start getting more intuitive, you get more psychic, you get more evolved in this realm. And the real challenge is, now I'm sure you've heard this, about DNA, haven't you, Doc?
Yeah, the average person has two strands of DNA activated, and the rest of it has basically been disassembled, and normally we were created with 12 strands of DNA. But my understanding is that we are actually even going to go beyond that. We will have more than 12 strands of DNA.
Well, you know, that is not necessarily true for a person. Here's the catch-22.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that activates DNA is the energy of the field. This energy that has been called prana, or spirit, vibrations.
Chi.
That's the energy. Chi. That's what activates DNA. But you could be in, if you're in a high field of energy and you don't have your chakras open enough to let that energy in, then that energy, instead of activating you and lifting you, is going to drive you crazy.
It'll make you go insane. Yeah.
Make you go insane. It'll make you want to die. It'll make you want to run away. So,
it'll make you want to run for president.
right. Well, now at the end of the 75,000 year cycle, and we are in this stream of energy that's higher than it's ever been, which means that the next few years, this is the way it's been explained to me by every source that I have talked to or read about, the next few years is this opportunity, since the energy is so high, there's the potential to accelerate the evolution of your DNA. But you have to start by getting your chakras open, and the easiest way to get your chakras open is through loving other people in a spiritual connection. And, of course, it's great to have a wife or a partner or employees, the people around you. Everyone around you is your opportunity to open up, and then you start to open up to this transformation in your DNA, which is what really is the huge step in evolution opportunity that's available to people now, but they have to take the step. Now, you know, in the book, The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, David Wilcock had done a lot of research about this, and, you know, he had come up with some Russian experiments where they pointed a beam of energy. The Russians had learned to actually focus this energy we're talking about, this energy of the field that, you know, you call Holy Spirit or prana or whatever, and they would focus it on a duck, and then they would focus it on a chicken, and then when the chicken laid eggs, the chicks would end up having duck web feet, okay, because the DNA was transferred. It's like two people that love each other end up looking like each other.
Mm-hmm. But
a guy looks like his dog, you know. I mean,
okay, when we have a caller, would you like to take a call?
Well, go ahead.
Okay. I didn't mean to interrupt you, but this caller has been on hold for a few minutes. Caller, would you state your name, please, and where you're calling from?
Yeah, this is Gail from Tennessee.
Okay. I can't hear Seth. If you can turn the caller's volume up for us.
I'm talking loud.
Okay, that's
that
a little
Gail?
Better.
Is that better?
Her name is Gail.
Oh, Gail? Okay.
Uh-huh.
Hi, Gail. And where are you calling from?
Tennessee.
Tennessee, okay.
Uh-huh.
Do you have a question or a comment for tonight's guest,
Winfrey? I have a question. I'm really faced with a dilemma here, and I'm not sure how to help this person. They had a near-death experience back in the mid-70s. And they now, and what my fear is that some dark entities have, in that period of time, when the soul had stepped out, have came in, because this person is totally delusional. They think that they are the one that has been sent here to run the world, take care of the world after the earth changes, you know, and a lot are wiped out. They are the one, and when I say the one, they are convinced they are God. and proceeded to tell me tonight. I've been trying to have a discourse with them, talking to them, and trying to get them to understand. Perhaps you're channeling, shall we say, less than desirable entities here. Because they're putting some thoughts into your mind that, quite frankly, I can't go along with.
Are you talking about my mind or this friend of yours?
No, this gentleman that I know. And he told me tonight.
If you were talking about Wynn, I was going to ask you, I was going to invite your friend on the show.
Hey, you guys, he'd be a good one, Don, to interview, let me tell you. You'd walk away going, oh boy. But he told me tonight that if I did not totally succumb, and he has the Bible totally translated, he knows what it all means now, and boy, it's way whacked out there too. But he told me that if I didn't totally succumb to what he told me to believe, then I would not survive these changes, that I would die along with the rest of the fools on this planet. But he is God.
Well, I would tell you that your friend needs to be saved worse than any of us.
He needs to what?
Be saved.
Needs to be saved.
Yeah.
I mean, I remember Ram Dass used to say, you know, yes, I'm God, but that's fine, but so are you, and so is everyone else.
Yeah.
And somebody that says, I am and you're not, is not on a true path.
Correct.
And whoever he's talking to is making him delusional.
Uh-huh.
And this is exactly what the negative does. The negative that we're talking about, they will make people think they're special, they will put people on pedestals, and your friend is doing exactly, invoking fear, saying, do what I say or you're lost. That is the signature of the negative.
If I could make a comment, because I've been to that place twice, but I don't mean that anger, but I came back and I noticed that there were a lot of people walking around the planet who were very angry. And for someone to come back from that experience, they're either not happy that they came back, or like Wynn is saying, they've attached themselves to something other than the higher vibration.
That's what this is. I felt like I was doing battle with demonics tonight. I mean, and I could not get to, and he does. They're half truths. Okay, not full truths.
Mm-hmm.
But
well,
you are convinced
he would be a good candidate to run for governor or some public office.
Who?
He would be a good candidate for public office.
Oh yeah.
I got the qualifications.
I think you should introduce him to Don and give him a radio show.
what Wynn is saying, Gail, is really true. It's going to be for him to work out. Now, here's where, you know, we could say the law of karma comes in, or God's free will, the free will of the universe. Do you want to interfere with this person's choice to be that way? You might have to make some choices about whether or not you want to deal with that.
Well, I hung up on him tonight. I said, I cannot accept what you're saying, and if you talk about that you have this understanding and that you're God. I thought he was talking about the higher self. No, he literally is delusional to think that he is creation.
But you can also love him, okay?
Right.
And as Wynn was saying, you can extend love to him,
mm-hmm.
and you can do that on your own.
Yeah.
And incorporate prayer in there, too.
I think that I'm going to have to back away from him because this is just, I can't reach him on a verbal level. He is convinced of what these entities are telling him, and there's no convincing him different, so I'm going to have to work on the etherical level to try to work with making maybe whoever this entity or entities make them go away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would suggest that you send them the light and don't try to do anything.
Okay.
Because if you try to do something, you're actually engaging yourself as entities, and
okay.
you don't want to engage with them.
No.
They can be really powerful. send them the light, and find someone that really appreciates you and that you can be influenced to, instead of focusing on a guy like that. Because the one thing I've learned, unless a person reaches towards you, and if you try to do anything to anyone, and they're not reaching towards you, you're going to fall into their sewer pit, okay?
Yeah.
All you have to do, Gail, is gauge how you feel about it right now, and you know the answer to what you should do.
Right.
You know within yourself, and it sounds like you already started on that path when you hung up on him. You disconnected yourself from that darkness.
I'd had just about enough this go around today, because I have been trying to bring him back to some normalcy for 6 months, and everything mm-hmm. he said to me tonight, that was it for me. I had to hang up.
Sounds like he even upset your dog.
Huh?
It sounds like he even upset your dog. I hear your dog barking in the background.
Yeah. I think they sensed something was going on, too. They've been barking ever since this evening. Yeah, there's definitely dark entities. But thank you, gentlemen.
Well, thanks for calling in, and do call in again.
All right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Okay. That was interesting, Wynn. You see, this was an interesting show tonight. We got the energy moving, and we're confronting these things. You see, this moves people out of their complacency and their apathy.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why I bring these topics up. Go ahead.
So many people find someone that's got a huge amount of things wrong with them, and all they do is look at them and say, how do I fix that person? And that person is not asking to be fixed. And that doesn't mm-hmm. matter if it's your husband or your children. Unless somebody wants to move in their space, you have no business trying to fix them, okay? And if it's that uncomfortable that you can't be positive in the space of their negativity, then you should leave them. I mean, you should just let them go, and because there's someone out there that's going to appreciate you, and you're violating. You see, if somebody wants to be an SOB and you're going to try to fix them, you're violating their free will. And the mm-hmm. whole idea of the highest spiritual aspects honor free will. That means if we are going to emulate the highest forces, then we have to honor free will, and that we have to not change people or not try to change people. Now, if somebody is doing something which is dangerous to someone else, you may not be able to change them, but it's okay to throw them in jail because they're doing something dangerous, and they're violating the health and safety of other people. But just because a person is selfish or this or that or the other thing, I mean, it's not your job to rescue them or change them unless they come to the place that they want to change and they don't know how, they're coming towards you. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you know, the one thing I've learned is that the person who, when you approach someone, the person, until you get into communion, and that's a spiritual thing, until you get into spiritual communion, the way the lower worlds work is the bigger matrix, when it approaches something of the smaller matrix, it has to compress its matrix to be in the space of who it's approaching. Now, if the smaller matrix approaches the bigger matrix, then the smaller matrix person will expand into the bigger matrix's field. But if the bigger matrix approaches the smaller person, then they contract. You know, and this is one of the consistent, temptations of being in a human body, because there's many people out there that are extremely evolved and have extremely big matrixes that have come from, you know, huge star systems that have come into this realm, and they've gone into many, 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 many lifetimes. And this is probably true for me. I say, I know this. That probably happened to me, and that this lifetime is a lifetime of, you know, working it out. But where, say, for example, if you were lonely and then you had sex with someone just because you were lonely, suddenly you went towards that person and you contracted into their matrix, and now you spend the rest of your life in that contracted matrix, and then you go into your next life and you're still in that contracted matrix, and you don't even know what you're doing. It's like so subtle. So this is a really important rule, because it's a way that people trap themselves and become vulnerable to the dark forces.
Mm-hmm.
Does that make sense?
Good. Yes, yes, absolutely. And that was the whole purpose I wanted to talk about this tonight, was, you know, there's some liberation. Now, if we only helped one person, you know, if we just helped Gail, and actually, in a sense, we're helping Gail's friend, too, because we're not perpetuating that opportunity to have that experience, you know, between him and Gail. And so Gail can go about her business, take care of her things, and she's going to come to a realization and an upliftment in her consciousness that's going to empower her to deal with loftier concepts in the future. Mm-hmm. In other words, there's a lesson for her.
Yeah.
So if she's the only one that's benefited from that tonight, then we've done our job. That's how I feel about it. How does Daphne feel about that now?
Are you listening, Daphne?
Yes.
How do you feel about that?
I concur 100%.
Hi, Daphne. How are you? Wow,
hey,
so nice to hear you.
How are you, John?
Good, good. We're having a very animated conversation tonight. This is this was my intention, is to get into the spirit.
I give you a lot of credit, Don, because he likes to talk, and this is actually a kind of a dialogue rather than a monologue, so you're doing a great job.
Well, thank you. It's that I want to get this information out. This is what Spirit has been telling me, you see. Now, Wynn can conduct his conference calls as he sees fit, and I conduct this show. I'm just joking. just joking. Being a wise guy. Wynn's very quiet right now.
You're doing a really stellar job, and it's been a pleasure to listen to the two. Actually, it's been very interesting listening to the two of you tonight.
Yeah, I think we're both coming from the same place. We could do a whole show on DNA. I would love to do that. You know, he brought up the DNA, and rightly so, because that is who we are, at least in our physical body. And you know, we're sort of like an auto parts store. All the boxes are inside the vehicle, but few of the parts are attached to the car.
it's kind of like our house right now. We just moved in, and most everything is still in boxes. I mean, the basics are together, but that's about it.
Well, and the way that always works out, by the time you get unpacked, it's time to move again. So
to move again, that's right.
Isn't that kind of how it works out usually?
Whenever I've made a place exactly like I want it, well, time to go.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, invariably. That's true.
Well, so you got to hear what we were talking about tonight. Was this resonating with the Elohim? Were they talking to you at all while we were talking, or?
Well, they've been very chatty today. And by that I mean we had our conference call on PBS at I guess we started at 6, and they came through for about 20 minutes, and then after that we were having dinner and they still wanted to talk to him, and then before he knew or remembered that he had a show with you tonight, I was following him around saying they want to talk to you. So they've been in the space all evening.
Hmm. Maybe they were picking up the fact that I was reviewing some of what they had been telling Wynn through you and Terry.
Let me just clarify that today has been, Daphne is, you know, when Daphne first started channeling, and I was a little bit quite amazed at this. I said, "Is this real?" They described her as a cosmic library. and that she could access many different things. So first being that spoke to us was Ptah, then was the Council of An, and then was the Council of Elohim, and then today we've been speaking to Ra'an, who's also part of the Ra group, a council. Now, you know, what it is if you want to imagine this, people try to think of these guys in human terms. We're dealing with energies. We're dealing with things that don't have bodies, but that can commune with our energies, because there's part of us that's outside of our body. And the two groups, the Elohim group and the Ra group, have different signatures. And they're huge. They both spread throughout the entire universe. And the Ra group is the one that's made up of graduates, and the Elohim group is made up of the guys that never came into this realm. So the graduates have a huge amount of wisdom of what it takes to get through here and graduate. But the Elohim seem to have more power, and that maybe they both can do miracles, but maybe more power in certain kinds of miraculous kind of transformations, because they can go and rework the matrix from the beginning, from chaos, so that if there's a matrix that's screwed up, they can kind of unscrew it up. But they don't violate free will, so they don't sit around doing that unless they're truly asked. And then they have to evaluate, is it for the highest good of all concerned to do this? So today it's been the Ra group that's been speaking quite a bit to us. So not the Elohim. If you read, I don't know if you read any of the channelings in the Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce book, but the channelings in there are very good examples of the Ra group. They're just down-to-earth wisdom, very high-level wisdom. Like attitude is everything, healing the original wound. And the Ra group, when you read it, actually energetically can, they say, as you study us, we study you. So they actually pay attention to you. And if your consciousness is open, you'll feel their vibration in your space.
Mm-hmm.
That's the experience of myself and a lot of people that have read the book. So it's, you know, it's another way to hold the reference point. I mean, people are so skeptical, including me, that this is such an amazing story that can transcend people's skepticism.
Yeah. You know, I wanted to make a comment here, and actually either you or Daphne can comment on this. Over the past 3-4 days, I was, I'm doing my research, I'm writing, working on music, and usually if I'm pouring through documents or writing something, I might be listening to something in the background, just to hear what, people are talking about, to gauge, consciousness, and so I might listen to talk radio. And of course I listen to bbsradio.com quite a bit. But I will also listen to some of the Patriot networks to see what's going on in the world, where people's consciousness is being directed. And I hear so much fear and sort of this resolute appraisal of how things are just going to be the way they have been, only they're going to get a lot worse. And this tremendous amount of peace came over me. And you know that peace, that I'm talking about, where I thought, you know what, this is such an illusion. Just for a flash, for a tenth of a second, which could be an eternity because the feeling hasn't left me since it came, is that, this illusion doesn't have to be that way. In fact, it recognizes itself that it's falling apart, that it's being disassembled and it's going to evaporate or morph into something else. And I understood that. I saw that. I knew that. I felt that. And so my consciousness just went to the higher place. And I actually went to music at that point. I thought, I don't even want to listen to this because there's so much fear in this and none of this is going to happen. That was the conclusion I arrived at. Any comment? Either one.
Hi, Don. We were at the Honda dealership in Las Vegas waiting for a diagnosis of a bad transmission that has to be replaced. But CNN was on, and we don't have a television. I've lived without a television for 20 years or so. And it was on very loud, and there was another person there, so I couldn't really do anything about it. She was watching it. And my whole body went into a state of agitation, and then I started blocking my ears physically, and then I got up and just started roaming around the space because it was, you know, I was viscerally disturbed. I could not take the vibration of the, you know, the sound bites and the fear and the hype, and it was very, very upsetting. And then, so I came back to the chair, and by that time the person had left. I went up to the television and looked on the little VCR. It was 444, interestingly enough, and came back, sat down next to Wynn, and I said, the star people want to talk. And he said, here, now? I said, yep, get out your recorder. And we started doing a transmission right there. There was no one around. And as soon as we went into the transmission, the feeling, that that ineffable feeling of peace that you described, descended upon me, and the space changed, you know, within 30 seconds, 40 seconds. And it's pretty much stayed with me the rest of the evening.
Mm-hmm.
So it's paralleling in some sense with what you were talking about.
This actually happened to me Friday night. So, you know, really Saturday, Sunday, and most of Monday, 3 days going into the fourth day, I still have that feeling. When I address these issues, I don't feel like I'm putting myself in that vibration. I'm looking at it. I'm observing it. You see, I'm commenting on it, but I'm not buying into it. That's the difference. Ahead, Wynn.
You know, the fact of the matter is the world is breaking down. And you can look at that as a positive or a negative. For example, for many people, the world we've lived in has been a world of fences. It's been a world of no connection. It's a world of people that can pay bills, have television, have a car, and don't even know who their neighbor is. It's a world where people have believed that by satisfying their needs in the physical, they have done their job down here, but they haven't. And I always remember that my father, who was a very closed man in general, his best friends through his entire life were the people that he was in the war with in World War II. And adversity, although none of us would want and wish to have it, adversity has the ability to bring out the best in people. And right now, we live in a hierarchical system that we are, in fact, slaves, but we don't even know it. And the breaking down of the system gives an opportunity for a transformation to bring out the best in people. And we need right now to plant strong seeds in ourselves and in the hearts of people around us so that, when we do channelings, they talk about probability vortices. You know, there's probability vortices that things will go this way or they'll go that way. And that's based on the consciousness of you and me and our listeners. And each of us has far more power than we'd ever believe, because most people are kind of apathetic. And a truly positive person can reach the hearts of apathetic people. But the problem is, so can a negative person. they don't reach their hearts, but they reach the consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
So one strong person in their heart can influence 1,000 people. And that's just in their daily life, in their job, in all the people that cross your path. And the key is, can you be strong enough in their negativity so that you can, or even their neutrality, so that when they pass you, you can feel uplifted. They can feel uplifted in your space. And that starts teaching them how to do that. And then you're building a support system. So if things do break down, and I should say when, but I'd rather say if, because I think inevitably they're going to break down. Whether it's 5 years, whether it's 10 years, I don't think it's going to be more than 10 years, and it's probably closer to 5 years that we're going to have a total, you know, dysfunctional world. And are people going to say, damn the government, damn the government? I depended on them. I paid my taxes. How could they do this? You know, what are they going to say? Let's turn to each other and make the best of it. Because we are the creators of the future. And now is the time to work through your stuff, to build your strength, to understand how important you are, how needed you are, so that you can hold for those other people, and the probability vortices of a positive outcome go up. This is not, it's not locked in stone that things are going to happen in a positive way. There's been past civilizations that blew themselves up many times. And we have a lot of support from the interdimensional groups. I mean, they've told me they can stop nuclear weapons from going off. They can do so many things, but they can't violate free will. And most people don't even know they exist. So part of my job is to say, hey, these guys exist. Look at what's going on with me. Look at what they're saying. Look at the miracles that have happened. Ask for their help. They hear you. They're paying attention. And, you know, without them supporting us, connecting with us, I don't think we'd stand a chance. But everyone listening tonight, can, as you said in the beginning, can start learning how to stand in their own power and learn to be first to clear their own negative patterns and then to stand as a positive beacon of light for other people. And this is not like being like that woman said, stand on the corner. What do they call those guys that are preachers that proselytizer or evangelist? No. You know, it's like holding the light. You can do it anywhere. You can do it in the bar. You can do it in the restaurant. You can do it with your family. And it's not making people believe in the same thing you believe in.
Mm-hmm.
It's not doing that. It's an inner quality that catches by radiance. By osmosis.
Well, we forget something when God created us and called us human beings. And our way of being down here, as we have been taught or controlled, is humans doing.
Mm-hmm.
And the way it's presented to us is that we are not humans, or we are not more than humans unless we are doing. In fact, those of us that don't do, and it's do what? Their bidding. Those of us that don't do what we're told to do are less than human. Yet, that's the dichotomy, you see, because we weren't sent here as human doings. We were sent as human beings, and we are acting as if we are human doings, if you get my meaning. And you did use the word be twice. So
actually, you know, Frank Sinatra had this down really well. You realize that?
I did it my way?
No. Dooby 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 doo.
Yeah. Well, you get my point. So we have to reclaim that beingness. We have to start being, and that doesn't mean we stop doing. The doing is in the being.
Well, you know, when you do with beingness, your doing becomes far more powerful.
Yes. Absolutely.
It's like, to me, beingness means interdimensionally connected, having your hologram expanded into all the realms, and wherever you are, you're anchoring the universe through your body. Now, when you do that, when you can do that, and then you take action, your actions are like stones that are creating waves in a lake. They're not just empty actions, but they keep reverberating because they're connected to the universe. And you, with your little physical action, are creating a vibration that checks, you know, changes everything around you. So it's to me, it's both a combination of being and doing with being that,
mm-hmm.
that changes the planet. In other words, you could sit around and twiddle your thumbs and talk about all kinds of things, but you decided to do a radio show and a music company. So you're being, but you're also doing. You're taking action and thrust, and you're putting your consciousness out so that other people can access it. You're helping other people feel safe and secure at night. And I hope that some night there's like 10 million people listening to you, because you would be really effective.
Well, I am effective.
They
have to be there with me.
what I mean is,
I'm making a pun out of it.
Yeah, you know what I mean. Having 10 million people tap into your consciousness and share that consciousness.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. We're about out of time here. We actually went over. Of course, you're going to be back again this month, I hope.
Next month, in July.
We haven't booked you yet for any appearances, but
maybe next time we're on, if Daphne or Terry want to cooperate and they're on the line, we can give your listening audience a taste of what these group souls actually sound like
mm-hmm.
when they're communicating, because it's pretty interesting.
Okay. Now, is Daphne still with us, or has she retired for the night?
No, she's listening.
Okay. Does she have any parting words for the listening audience?
Are you asking me from my own consciousness or from the higher sources?
Wherever you want to bring it from.
I could see if I could tap in if you can take a minute here.
Oh, okay. Do you need some background music? I'll hum a song or something.
No, it's just
okay.
Usually a few breaths.
Okay. Just radio. We have to keep the sound going somehow.
Why don't you invoke the light?
So, listen, we'll just invoke the light. Are we going too far over on BBS time?
No, well, this is an important message coming through, so we'll just keep going till the message has come our way.
Okay. So, Father, Mother, God, we ask for the presence of the light to surround and protect each person here. Hopefully Don won't push the computer off. And then any negativity be taken to the higher realms of light and transmuted for the highest good of all concerned. We now invoke a group energy amongst the three of us and everyone that's listening that would like to partake. And some of you, if you close your eyes, you'll see a light on your third eye and you'll feel a vibration on the top of your head. You'll know that you're connecting. And in this group energy, we invite these group souls to join us. And when I said that, some of you might have felt a shift in the energy or an increase on the top of your head. And that's their signal that they're showing up. And we'll take a moment of silence and see if they have a message for us.
They are present.
Okay. Who is communicating?
This is the Council of Ra'an.
The Council of Ra'an. Have you been monitoring our show tonight?
Challenge, please.
Are you coming in the Christ of energy?
We do indeed come within the Christ of light.
you operate within the law of one.
We operate exclusively within the boundaries of the law of one.
Are you service to others?
We are service to others, law of Christ, law of one.
Okay. And if you've been listening to our show tonight, do you have any comments on some of the points we've made from year one?
Good evening. We bid you welcome, hearty souls who are opening their minds, their hearts, their consciousness to greater understanding, to greater magnitudes of incorporation of energies from beyond this localized sector, and moving past the boundaries and limitations of time and space and the parameters of the 3D, five-sense, physicalized, sensational world. Multidimensionality is, for some, just beginning to open itself as a reality, as a concrete experience, as a reference point. For this is the future of Homo sapiens. For this is the future in terms of the ascension process, which is now well underway. You have made reference this evening to the Elohim and to the Ra confederacies. These are akin to the left and the right hand, to the masculine, to the feminine, to the yin, to the yang. The Elohim is celestial. It is architectural. It is, in some senses, without experience in the physical. The Ra is grounded. It is bottom up. The Elohim is top down. Both are needed. Both are counterbalances, one for the other. It is in this light we should like to present the knowledge and the wisdom of these group souls to you. Expand in the directions in which you have explored. It is true spiritual courage. It is true spiritual perseverance and true beingness / doingness, and you honor us and yourself by continuing down this path of exploration and a willingness to share your observations and your conclusions with a greater audience. We would like at a future date to have more specified questions and time to explore specific topics of your desired interest. This would be a great honor for us. We are here to serve, to assist, and to help you insofar as we are able. This is the Council of Ra'an. We bid you good evening, blessing, Adonai, Sevaoth, Om Shanti, Shanti.
Well, thank you for that message that that had a particular vibration that I see as confirming what we talked about tonight and honoring what we talked about. And so you have to come back now, Wynn. I guess they're expecting you back.
This is job security. But you know what we can do is
they like when you ask questions.
We might have two consecutive nights, and
are
one
they
night
asking
we
us,
have.
Let me interrupt for a second. Are they asking us to ask a question right now, or is this for another time?
For the future.
Oh, in the future, because the future is really part of the now, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, I think the idea was to get your listeners involved. And,
I see.
But the best thing is to maybe not ask the questions live,
mm-hmm.
but to, you don't get a crank thing, but, you know, have people call one night and then the next night we'll ask the questions and get the answers. Is that a good procedure, Daphne?
They want you and Don to formulate the questions the first time.
Oh, they want you and I to formulate the questions, Don.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. I certainly would have some questions as from my perspective, as I'm sure you would.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I ask questions all the time, so it's like I have questions and answers coming out of my ears. I always enjoy the contact, but it's kind of a validation. I think they want to connect with you. In other words, they
mm-hmm.
want to by giving you the opportunity to ask questions. It creates a connection. It creates.
They don't like to do monologues. They want dialogues.
They don't like monologues. They like dialogues.
Yes.
You know, they want to connect. I mean, both groups have said in their own ways they really want to be our friend, and we have to be worthy of their friendship, so to speak, but
mm-hmm.
Can tell us how to do that. So a dialogue creates a relationship, which is much preferable to them than looking down from the mountain in the past saying, this is what we proclaim to be true, and you must follow. I'm not sure that's them anyway, but, you know.
Also learn from us.
Well, you know, in the beginning of their statement, they made a distinction between the Elohim and themselves, and talking about the Elohim being of a celestial essence and them being here grounded.
Mm-hmm.
But before they said that, they described themselves as the left and the right. So they used that
mm-hmm.
as a dichotomy. But they're,
mm-hmm.
I noticed right away that became, they went from horizontal, because we think left and right as a horizontal line in front of us. They instantly became vertical to show us that distinction in their reality or in their function.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And that is really how we would benefit, I think, in thinking in terms of verticality.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know
in our conscious pursuits and in our endeavors.
When you do a dialogue with them, it's kind of neat because one question leads to another, to another, to another, and you can really start to feel how they operate. And then, of course, sometimes you'll ask a series of questions and then they'll flow into an area of your life after the call, and you'll see a shift in that area. So,
mm-hmm.
But they don't usually do that, so they like you. And or they respect you, and they respect your high intention. So...
Well, I hope so. I'm sorting out many things like all of us are, and I'm a very open individual, but I'm careful or cautious about what I am opening myself to. It's a matter of setting your intention and then recognizing if you're on the path or you're off the path.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely right.
And now there are many out, many of the listeners are listening to us wondering how they can apply these things in their lives. But I would just say keep listening to Evident Footprints, because every night we're going to bring someone that's going to say something in their own way, which you can apply to tonight's show, or something that you heard tonight can be applied to another show a couple of weeks from now. And when you hear these things over and over again, much like the advertising that you're bombarded with, which are not empowering you, they're empowering the physical or the corporate entities, these things will empower you. They will begin to take root and grow within you, and you will begin to remember. You will come back to that point where you began forgetting these things, or setting these deeper or these higher truths aside, almost ignoring them. Maybe hoping that they would return, or hoping that you would find some answer, yet the answers are really inside you and in making all these connections that we've been talking about through love and through the experience of coming together with others, with setting a higher intention that for everyone, that you move out of the self-serving mode and get into the greater service of the oneness. And I don't know what caused me to say that. I just said it.
You know what? That's probably a good place to close down. We probably have Don and Seth sitting there saying, "What are these guys going to shut up?"
Well, would you part with a closing word, Wynn, for the listening audience?
Well,
BBS Radio, because BBS has been under attack lately, and we want to hold a higher intention.
Well, let's just, first of all, create a light energy around BBS, around the computers, the room, and all the electricity, and ask for protection for the highest good. For your listeners, I wanted to make sure I invited them, if any of them were connected with what we're doing, that please just send me an email, and I'll give you the follow-up information, winfree@yahoo.com. Minimum, read the book Questions and Answers with the Elohim, which I send out as a free ebook right now, and read The Reincarnation of Edgar Cayce. And the key to this, Don, is if something is coming of a high vibration, to keep paying attention to that. Don't think you can do something one time and everything changes. There's a lot of patterns that we have as humans that are ancient, that we've taken many lifetimes to get into our system. And if you want to get them out of your system, then pay attention to things of a higher vibration. Listen to the Don Mikoloff show regularly. Listen to the conference calls we're doing regularly. And if those don't work for you, find something that does. But don't listen with your mind. Listen with your heart. Live with your heart. Get out of your mind, because your mind's main purpose is discernment, deciding what you should let in and what you shouldn't, and what your path is. Once you do that, get the mind out of the way, because it will only distract you. And that's my words for the night. Thank you for having us on, and we look forward to the next time we're together.
Well, I do too, and I'll have to talk to you tomorrow, although tomorrow is now today here, so... later in the day. I'll let you have a good night's sleep, and we'll book a couple of shows for this coming month. I do have some openings in my schedule, and yes, I will take you on your suggestion to invite Daphne and even Terry, if Terry wants to come on board, and we'll do a show with the ladies also. And yes, I would, I will sit down and contemplate, some questions and then we'll just ask them. Okay?
Hey, maybe we can get both groups on the show.
Oh, that would be fantastic. We'll have to have two sound engineers that night to handle all.
All right. Well,
I want to thank Daphne too for coming on the show tonight.
Thank you very much, Don. It was a pleasure and an honor. I appreciated it very much.
And also the Ra group and the Elohim, even though they weren't speaking to us audibly, we could feel them. Couldn't we?
They pay attention. Yes.
Okay. And I want to thank all the listening audience for hanging in there and Gail for calling in. Also want to thank Don Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, Seth Hendrick and Marcella on the sound, although I don't know if Marcella is even working tonight. But anyway, thank you guys for staying over a little bit. And be with us tomorrow. Our special guest, Linda Emanuel, the author of the book, The Messenger, will be my special guest. First time on Evident Footprints. You don't want to miss that show. And in the meantime, have a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.